Just when I think that time can't go any faster, the pace seems to pick up. It won't be long now, and we'll be thinking about raking leaves and also thinking about putting on a jacket before we go outside. On top of that, right now, we're less than a month from the Feast of Trumpets and the beginning of God's feast days. It's a very exciting time, but the concerns of life can easily distract us, and then before we know it, the feast is upon us, and we find that we've done very little spiritual preparation for God's feast days. Well, now is the time to prepare for God's fall holy day season, and prepare we must. We must prepare for God's coming feast days. It's so important. You see, you think about the feast, and I'm not talking about just the Feast of Tabernacles, but all of the feast days, the fall feast days, they're really twofold in our life. There's the physical preparations of being ready to observe the days, but there's also a very important aspect of the spiritual preparation that needs to take place for God's feast days. And we need to make sure that we're diligent in preparing spiritually for God's feast days. God is a God that is always prepared ahead of time. Nothing catches God by surprise. And throughout his word, he teaches his people to be a prepared people, to be ready at different times for different things that happen in life. God the Father and Jesus Christ are always preparing the way ahead for their people. If you would, let's go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 23. And we'll read verse 20 here in just a minute. But right now, God is preparing the fall holy day season for us, for you and me. He is doing his preparations so that we can have a wonderful fall holy day season. Our Father has selected our place of worship for each of the fall holy day seasons. The ministry is very busy in preparing their messages, and God is guiding them through his word. Let's go ahead and see how God is preparing the way for his people. Exodus 23, verse 20 says, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." God tells his people Israel that he sent an angel to guide them into the place that he has prepared for them. That's the kind of God that we worship. God's word tells us that he is looking out for us as we walk in the path that he sets before us in our life. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Now, I could easily go through a large section of this chapter, but that's not really my point today. I want to look at a few key phrases in a number of verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 5. Notice what the Lord says he does for his people. He says, "But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses." See, God is actually going before his place, before his people, and selecting the place where he wants them to be. Going on, it says, "out of your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place." So God picks the place where he's going to place his name. And he follows up in verse 5, "and there you shall go." Let's drop down to verse 11. It says, then there will be the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. There you shall bring all that I've commanded you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heath offering, offerings of your hand, and all of your choice offerings which you vowed to the Lord. Again, let's drop down to verse 14. Verse 14 says, but in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings, and there you shall do all that I command you. God is stressing how that he wants us to realize that he is guiding us. He's preparing the way for us. He chooses where he wants us to go and where he will place his name. We can continue reading. Verse 18. Verse 18 says, but you must eat them before the Lord your God in the place which the Lord your God chooses. You and your sons and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite who is within your gates, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God in all to which you put your hands. Lastly, down in verse 21. If the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far for you, then you may slaughter from your herd and from your flock which the Lord has given you. Just as I have commanded you, you may eat within your gates as much as your heart desires. So again, it's not my point in this sermon today to go through a whole study about what God is giving us here in chapter 12. But I just wanted you to see how often he places this phrase in there about the place that he chooses for us. God is a preparer, and he's preparing the way for his people as we approach his fall holy day season. God is very much a preparer for his people. How important is being prepared to God? How important is that subject to God? With every Sabbath, if you think about it, with every Sabbath and every feast day, right before every Sabbath and right before every feast day, there's what? There's a preparation day. God has set a day aside for us to prepare to observe his day of rest. And every feast day is a day of rest. It's a time for us to think and to worship God, and time for fellowship, a time to rejoice, a time to change the way we're thinking towards things of God. And God wants us to be prepared. God wants his people to be ready, always prepared. Yes, for the fall holy days, but that's not the only time that God wants his people to be ready and to be prepared. God wants us to be ready, especially for his promised return to this earth. He tells his people very clearly that his people will be ready, will be prepared for his return to this earth. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. We'll see how important this is to God. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading in verse 35. And we'll read down through verse 40. Luke 12, verse 35. Jesus Christ is speaking here. He says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. Doesn't that just... that statement right there from Jesus Christ tell you that he's telling us that you must be prepared. You must be ready. That word girded is talking about, and I talked about this in the past, but the traditional dress for that time for a man was a long cloak or long outer garment. Well, when they were just relaxing around the house, they wouldn't have it girded or a belt around their waist. It would just be loose. But when they knew they had work to do, or that they were preparing to go on a journey where it required them to walk or possibly even to run, they would put a belt around their waist. They girded themselves so that that outer cloak wouldn't become a hindrance to them. They would prepare themselves to do the work. Well, Jesus Christ is saying, let your waist be girded. This is a spiritual principle for his people, that he's telling us that we are to be spiritually ready, girded, with our lamps burning, meaning that, and that we know that the oil and the lamp is a symbol for God's Holy Spirit. That can't go out in our life. That's not being prepared. Going on in verse 36, Jesus said, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. That's a statement of anticipation, something that you expect to happen at any time. So be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately, meaning you're not going to be caught off guard. When Jesus Christ returns, you're not going to say, oh man, I wasn't ready for this. Hold on, I'll answer the door in just a minute. I got to get ready before I open the door. Jesus Christ doesn't want us to be surprised by his return, spiritually speaking. He wants us to be ready, to be prepared. Verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Those servants will be blessed if they're watching. And when Jesus comes, we know from other scriptures, some will be watching and some will be napping. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Verse 38, if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Meaning it doesn't matter if delay happens, that no matter what happens in life and society, you are ready. You are spiritually ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 39, but know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 40, therefore you also be ready, be prepared, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. We don't have to expect it, but we have to be ready for it. We have to be living our life in preparation for the return of Jesus Christ. He wants his people to be prepared. And now we're facing right in the front door of us, so to speak, of our life, is the coming fall holy days. It's so important that we be a people that are spiritually prepared for the coming fall holy days. So today I would like to share a plan with you that will help you and help myself be spiritually ready for the coming fall holy days. The title for my message is Place the Fall Holy Days First. Place the Fall Holy Days First. My first point is study and meditate on the coming fall holy days. Study and meditate on the coming fall holy days. We have a blessing of being very familiar with the truth of God. You and I could probably have a conversation. I could ask you to explain to me what the Feast of Trumpets is all about, and you could give me a tremendous definition, a very accurate definition. Same thing with the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the eighth day. We have that knowledge and understanding of God's truth and the meaning behind his fall holy days. But with that knowledge and understanding can also come a tripping point, meaning that you, in your own mind and in your own life, if you're not careful, you think, I don't really need to read and study about the Feast of Trumpets, I pretty much know what it's all about. So you don't do it. You let it go. And the same thing with the Day of Atonement and the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. We cannot and should not rely on our own knowledge and not pursue a continual education in God's Word. So in preparation for the coming fall holy days, I would encourage you to dive into God's Word, to study it, study the meaning of each of the days. It's so easy to become lax in that and think that we know it all. But we need to read even some of the church booklets, because the church has a lot of good material on its website that can help us in our studies and preparation for the coming feast days. I brought a few church booklets with me today. Missing one. You may have this on your bookshelf. It's called God's Holy Day Plan, The Promise of Hope for All of Mankind. Very good book to start your studies with for the coming feast days. There's also the booklet, The Gospel of the Kingdom, another good booklet to study about the meaning behind the coming fall holy days. And another one, if you have the Bible study course, lesson 12, is God's Festivals, Key to Humanity's Future. All these are very helpful and valuable when it comes to refreshing our memory about the meaning behind God's fall holy day season. If you're not into reading and booklets so much, there's also videos available. The church has some really excellent videos that are geared towards and focused on the coming fall holy day season. I'll give you a quick explanation of how to find some of these. If you go to the Beyond Today website, and at the top you click on or hover over the tab that says Bible Tools, it'll open up, and at the very bottom, it'll say Video Bible Series. Video Bible Series. If you click on that, it's going to take you to a page, and you'll find a great video series regarding all of God's holy day season, even the spring holy day season. Some really good videos, and I think some of those might be an hour long, but they're really good videos and a good study source as we get closer to the fall holy day season. Also, if you follow the same, go to the Beyond Today website, and again, follow Bible Tools, then you go down and you'll see a video series regarding the holy days. It's called Let Us Keep the Feasts. Let Us Keep the Feasts is also, and you can just put that in the search box and it will come up as well. But I found, because there's a number of these and some of them show up in the search and some of them don't. So it's better to track your way down through it. Maybe what I'll do is I'll send out an email that has all these links, and it'll be much easier for you to access them than me trying to explain them from up here. And then I'm going to leave the teens out. But the church also has a very good video series on the fall holy days for the teens as well. Again, if you go under the same tab on the church's Beyond Today website, it's called Teen Bible Study Guides. Teen Bible Study Guides. If you click on that, you'll find another link that says Teen Bible Study Volume 4, God's Festivals and Holy Days. So they have a video series in there just dedicated for the teens that explains God's festivals and holy days. And these are relatively short. They don't require hours of study, but they're there for you, and it's a wonderful way to dive into studying about God's coming fall holy day season. So I want to ask you, why is it so important that we study about the coming fall holy day season? Obviously, the main answer here is it's going to help us to be spiritually prepared. It's going to be easy for us to be physically prepared. We've got that down pretty well. But sometimes we can get so consumed in physical things that we forget the importance of being spiritually prepared as well. But the first thing I would say is we need to be ready to give an answer. We need to be ready to give an answer. We're all preparing to take off from school or from work, and there's always an opportunity for someone to see us planning to take off of work or from school, and they might ask, why? Why are you taking off from work during this time? Are we ready to give an answer? Are we prepared to give an answer? I don't think it's enough just to say, well, our church is having a convention and we're going to take a week and go to that. I think that's inadequate. God wants us to be prepared to give a thorough, it doesn't have to be long, but a good, thorough, clear explanation of the hope that's in you. And that's really what people are asking. Why are you doing this? What's the religious reason behind this? We need to be prepared to give a good answer. Let's turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. When we give an answer to the questions that folks ask us from time to time, we need to do it based upon knowledge and understanding, but also offer that explanation with a humble mind and a humble heart. 1 Peter 3, verse 15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Set him apart. Make a special place in your mind and in your heart for your Lord. And always be ready. Notice that. Preparation. Always be ready to give a defense. And in the King James Version, I believe it says, I don't have it right in front of me. Let me check. An answer. And the King James Version says, always be ready to give an answer. The New King James Version says, to give a defense. And either are really true, because sometimes people might question you and then say, oh, well, that's kind of silly, or why are you doing that? But you need to defend. You don't just tell people why you're doing something or that you're doing something. You need to explain to them in detail sometimes. But always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks a reason for the hope that is in you. And then notice, it doesn't say you do it with a finger shaking in their face. You do it with meekness and fear of the Lord, fear of God. And he will guide and direct that. He might be using you to give that person a calling to his truth. The best way to do that is to follow God's instruction, to be prepared, and then to do it with a humble heart, fully respecting God. The second reason I think it's important that we study about the coming fall holy day season is it's important that we study to keep God's truth in our heart. It's important that we study to keep God's truth in our heart. It's easy to develop a thought process, like I said earlier, oh, I've done this so many times, for decades actually, and I pretty much know all there is to know about God's feast days. Well, sadly, many people have walked away from God's truth. After years, they've lost the precious knowledge that they once understood. They lost that knowledge and understanding that goes with these special holy days. I've heard stories from people in the past. My father-in-law, when he was alive, used to tell me that he knew people that were a part of the faith for years, for a decade or more. And then all of a sudden they decided they didn't want to have anything else to do with it, and they left God's truth. Obviously, when you leave God's truth, you're not studying it. You're not keeping it in your mind anymore. And he's told me stories where he would run across them years later, and they would actually struggle because they just knew it was in the fall season. Oh, yeah, you're probably getting ready to go and do whatever you do at some feast site somewhere. It's possible to lose the knowledge and the understanding that we hold near and dear in our mind and our heart at this time. We have to continue to refresh God's knowledge in our mind every year, at every season. That's why one of the reasons why God has us do these days repeatedly, every year, so that we don't forget. You can jot down in your notes, if you like, Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's a beautiful scripture of talking about the importance of storing it up. Something you just keep building and building and building, and that is God's truth. And it points to the reason and the importance of why. And that is that I may not sin against you. God's word must be stored up in our heart. And it only gets that way by one process. Let's go to Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 and 19. Verse 18, God tells us, therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart, in your soul, and bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We're heading in to God's fall holy day season. It's a precious time of year. It's a very special time of year. Our lives are very busy. Let's not forget our children. Make this time between now and the fall holy day season a time for education for them. Help find ways to help build their anticipation for the Feast of Tabernacles, for the Day of Atonement. That might be a tough one, building anticipation for the Day of Atonement. Guess what, kids? You get to go without food and water for 24 hours. Be creative. But we must teach our children and not forget them that they need to have this instruction in righteousness, instruction in God's law. And while we may fully understand the meaning behind these days, maybe they don't. Maybe there's something that they still need to learn. Maybe there's questions that they have. The most important thing is that they need to understand at an early age is that these days need to be observed and kept. And then next, the next reason I wanted to explain for studying about the coming fall holy day season, and listen to this closely, it's also important that we study to keep from being spiritually destroyed. It's important that we study to keep from being spiritually destroyed. And yes, I am aware that is a very strong statement. But it's not from me. That's God's warning from his word. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hosea chapter 4. We'll read verse 1 and verse 6. This is a warning to God's people because it's happened in the past to God's people. Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. The only way you're going to hear the word of the Lord is if you put yourself into it, that you study it. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. He's talking to his people. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land, which was them. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. That's a bad place to be. When there is no truth, no mercy, no knowledge, those people are in trouble. And you get to that point one way, and that is forsaking your study into God's holy word over and over again, building it up and storing it up in your life. Jump down to verse 6. God says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because of that statement there by God, I said, we need to study to keep from being spiritually destroyed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge, thought it wasn't necessary. Know-it-all is in danger. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God. We cannot afford to forget the importance of the law of God and every aspect of it. The feast days are an example of the law of God. God tells us, you shall observe these days. Go read it for yourself in Leviticus 23. These are the feasts of the Lord. He takes ownership of them. Continuing on in verse 6 again, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. So it just is not a penalty to us. It's a penalty against the generations that are to follow us. We need to be careful in thinking, well, I haven't rejected the knowledge of God. We should ask ourselves, am I binding these words in my heart and my soul daily? When we study God's word, it places his word in our mind. We need God's word in our life every day. Studying about the coming holy days and feast days will be a major help in being mentally and spiritually prepared to gain as much as possible from these very important days. If we don't prepare mentally, we will only partially benefit from these days. We can go and keep the feast physically. We could take off work. We could be there for the first night service. We could go attend services every day of the feast, keep the eighth day, and head home, and not do one bit of spiritual preparation for that period of time, ahead of time. Jesus Christ said, it's not a matter of you just going through the physical motions. He doesn't want us to just keep the feast physically. He wants us to keep the feast with our entire being. Keeping the feast spiritually in our mind and in our heart, teaching it to our children. That's the keeping of the feast. We need to go far more than just the physical observance of God's feast days. The next thing that we can do in preparation for God's feast days is talk to God, your family, and your brethren. Talk to God, your family, and your brethren. First, make the coming feast days a regular part of your prayer life. Sometimes you might even struggle on what to pray about. Well, talking to God about his feast days that are coming up is a beautiful thing to pray about. a necessary thing to pray about. God wants us to be excited for these days. Are we on our knees in excitement to God, thanking Him for the calling that we have to observe these days? Be excited for these days that are coming in your communication with God in prayer. Let's consider David's approach. Let's go to Psalm 119. Verse 12. Psalm 119, we'll read verses 12 through 18. Notice the way David states a few things in these few verses. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Did David say that because he was ignorant of God's law? I don't think so. He knew God's law from a very young age. But he still recognized his need to be taught. He still recognized his need to learn, to take in knowledge of God's truth. Verse 13, with my lips. That's talking. That's what I just mentioned we need to do to God in prayer. Talk to Him about the coming feast days. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. That's verbal communication of sharing the gospel message. Verse 14, I have rejoiced. These coming feast days are all about rejoicing. I can make a whole sermon on just focused on scriptures about the importance of rejoicing in the coming fall holy days. God wants His people to be ecstatic during these days, to really be pumped up with excitement and enthusiasm and zeal, both physically and spiritually in your studies. Verse 14, finishing that up, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. He's comparing God's law to exceed all wealth. Verse 15, I will meditate, thinking about, dreaming about, planning. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Think about that. That's a part. Contemplation is a part of meditation. And where you think about something, but you also imagine how it's going to turn out. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. If you pour yourself into your studies in preparation for the coming fall holy days, you will have a delight for them. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. And if we don't study, we will forget. Verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. You could start your studies for the coming fall holy days in prayer with these six or seven verses right here. Just get on your knees and talk to God and recite these same things. Maybe even better, do it in your own words, but with the same thought in mind. The world sees these days as burdensome, something to be forgotten, a hassle. Some might even tell you that they're pointless. They're done away with. We don't need to observe these days. But how do we see them? Because that's really all that's important. How do we see and view the days that are coming and beginning in less than a month? It's important that we view them as a treasure, that we appreciate them more than any riches that we have in our life. is a time of rejoicing, a time of forgetting the problems of life. And we all have them. They're all probably going to be different, but we all have problems in life. It's a time of having our minds filled with the tremendous promises of God. And that's really, in a nutshell, what the Fall Holy Days are all about. A remembrance of God's promises for us and for all of mankind. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. Deuteronomy 16, verse 13. It says, "You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. And when you have gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God." A sacred feast. This is a special time coming up. "In the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all of your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice." In verse 16, we're very familiar with this. We quote this almost at every offering we take up during the feast days. 3 times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God. It's a command to be there. "In the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed." It's a time for us to go before God. It's a time for us to discuss these coming days with him and to express our greatest desire for their fulfillment. The Fall Holy Days are given to us with a powerful meaning of a complete change that's going to come upon this earth. Talk to God about your desire for the return of his Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Lastly, discuss these days with your families, with your children, with your loved ones, and with each other. Nothing is more exciting and motivating than to have strong, inspiring communication with others about the coming days. Not only is it exciting, but it's a command of God upon each of us to pass these beautiful truths along that we've received from God to our next generation. Let's go to Psalm 78, verse 1, final scripture for today. Psalm 78. We'll begin reading in verse 1, and I'll read from the New Living Translation. Psalm 78, verse 1. "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories that we've heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us." Those messages are going to be a part of the coming Fall Holy Day season. Verse 4, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of our Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." And when we explain these days to our children, that should be the focus. Show that God is a powerful God. Let our children build that image in their minds of God's strength, his glory, and his power. Verse 5, for he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children. Verse 6, so the next generation might know them. That's how they're going to learn about God, about his promises, about his incredible truth. Verse 6 again, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting the glorious miracles and obeying his commands, obeying his laws. I would even go as far as encourage our seniors in our congregations to engage with the youth. Talk to them about your calling. Talk to the youth here at church about the past fall holy days that you observed, the fun things that you've done. It's important that our young people hear and experience the treasure that all of you have, no matter what our age. It's really everyone's duty to share God's truth with our youth. Brother, now's the time to prepare. God expects us to be a people that are ready. Ready physically to keep the coming fall holy days, but even more importantly, or just as importantly, being spiritually ready to observe these coming fall feast days. I'm sure we'll take care of the physical business, but let's pay special attention to the spiritual preparation that is so important as we draw close to God's fall feast days. It really is about putting first things first. And right now in our life, we need to put God's fall holy days first. Hope the rest of your Sabbath day is very blessed.